Hello there, and welcome to the Authentic Recruiter Podcast. I'm Coach Claire Akers. I'm a mindset and recruitment business coach who works with authentic, values-led recruiters. I've spent 15 years in the recruitment industry at the coalface, plus founded and run a technology recruitment company myself for the past 5 years. So I've experienced all the highs and definitely the lows of the recruitment world. This podcast features interviews with inspiring, authentic recruitment leaders and entrepreneurs, my best leadership coaching tips, and advice from industry experts on how to grow and scale a values-led company. So, maybe you're an entrepreneur or business leader of a fast-growing company who's excited to scale, but who wants to do it in the right way. Or maybe you're an experienced recruiter who wants to have an impact and make a difference. Wherever you are in your journey, if you're values-led and purpose-driven, you're in the right place. Ready? Let's go. So, Caroline, you are the founder of Cheerleader PR. Tell me about your background and how you got to be where you are today.
Okay, well, I mean, so I've worked in PR for 20 years now, but that wasn't always the plan. I did business studies at university and I wanted to go into HR. So similar sounding name, but very, very different. And I went to do my work placement at BT, working in HR, very high level HR. And when I was there, it was announced via the media that 2,000 managers were going to be made redundant. And I just thought, I don't want to work in this department. It wasn't our department that was handling that, but it was just like, I don't think this is for me. And I'd always loved storytelling. I used to have a typewriter and like bash out my own stories. Mm. I've always loved people and you know, getting to know them and getting to know their stories. So I kind of found out about PR and public relations and went back to university and said, I want to go into PR. And the careers officer said, oh, everyone wants to do that. It's very competitive. And it was a bit like, all right, I'm going to do it now for definite because I like a challenge. So yeah. I got into PR by just kind of going for it, going for interviews, applying for the jobs. And I got my break into the industry in a small agency. And that was great because I just basically did everything from answering the phones to going to all the meetings to send, you know, doing all the media relations. And then I moved to a bigger agency, which was like the best agency in the country at the time. So it was the PR Week Consultancy of the Year. So I went there and just loved it. I mean, I worked on massive campaigns that, you know, were really changing lives, like launching the National Recycling Campaign. We promoted the England women's football team for the FA, which I loved. So I did that. That was absolutely amazing. And then I went to work in-house at the National Media Museum in Bradford, where I was a senior press officer. So we had film festivals, exhibitions, children's holiday activities. And our job was to attract visitors to the museum and grow the profile of the museum. So I did that. And then when I was pregnant with my second daughter, my role was actually made redundant. And so that was a bit of a shock. But actually, as often is the case, it was the best thing that could have happened because I was kind of ready to move on. I didn't want to go back to the same role. So I went off and after my daughter was about one, then I started freelancing. And that's 6 years I've done that for. And worked with so many sort of small owner-managed, passionate business owners. And then Cheerleader PR came to be last summer after a time of thinking that as much as I love doing people's PR for them, I thought there's definitely a need to teach people how to promote themselves with confidence. And so I launched Cheerleader PR to empower passionate business owners to promote themselves and become their own best cheerleaders. Because as much as I can be a business's best cheerleader and go out and shout about all the good work that they're doing, they also need to be able to do that themselves. So that kind of bridges the gap between me promoting them and them promoting themselves. I'll teach them how to do it. I still do some consultancy work as well, but it just gives me other options in terms of courses and coaching when it comes to PR. So that's kind of a whistle-stop tour to how I got to where I am now, really.
So I'm interested to know about your niggle. What it was, that little voice in your head that said, actually, I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to be self-employed. And to take that brave leap. Do you remember what, 6 years ago, having an aha moment or just deciding to take that leap? Or
yeah, there's probably two different things actually. So obviously through being made redundant, that sort of choice was made for me in that I, you know, didn't have a job to go back to at the place I worked before. But obviously I could have looked for another job. But when I was kind of going through the redundancy process, I had thought I'd like to be freelance. I spoke to a friend who was freelancing and it was, you know, all looked great. But then having been off and had my daughter, I kind of lost my confidence and having been through the redundancy process as well. And then when that friend came back to me and said, actually, I'm giving up 2 contracts. Would you be interested? My first reaction was no. I was like, no,
really?
I don't want to do PR anymore. It's not for me. I don't know what I want to do. I'd lost my confidence. And I just sort of was like, that was my first reaction. And then I was like, I'm done. I really was. And I think some of that was because, you know, where I had worked before, I'd been there a long time and, you know, it'd probably not been the best place towards the end. So I had sort of taken a knock confidence-wise there anyway. And then I sort of thought, well, I've got nothing to lose here because I haven't got a job. I've still got all these skills and why don't I just give it a go? So I went for those 2 pieces of work and got both of them. And that was how I started freelancing. And I actually found, thankfully, I didn't give up PR, that I didn't not like PR anymore. I just didn't like where I'd been doing it before and how I'd been doing it. And to go back to that point of being responsible for the whole process from the idea through to the delivery and all the media relations and getting the coverage at the end, I actually loved it, but I just lost that passion for it because of the situation that I was in. So that was kind of me getting back into PR and falling back in love with it and realizing I did still love doing it, but I could finally do it the way I wanted to do it, which felt amazing. But then I suppose the niggle, if you like, came when I'd probably been doing PR in that way as a freelancer for about 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. And I started to see these opportunities of, like, you know, ways to reach, help more people through coaching or courses and helping people in that way, rather than just literally trading time for money and just doing people's PR for them. It seemed like a way to open up and to do business in the way I wanted to do it and to fit in with how I wanted it to fit in with my life. So that was probably the niggle of starting Cheerleader PR that led to me starting it, because I just knew that I didn't want to continue doing it the way I was doing it, you know, for forever. And I was ready for a change, but I did realize
time to evolve.
But when I look back, I do tend to have like a 5-year itch in my career. So most of my jobs, apart from the first one, I've been there for about 5 years and then thought, oh, you know, ready for a change. So it was around, as I say, the 5-year mark that I started to look for something different. So that was kind of the niggle, if you like.
Ah, interesting. So as we're talking, I'm a coach, I can't help it. I'm picking up on qualities and values. And let me just check if I'm getting this right. So far, I've got some grit and backbone and a bit of... dare I say stubbornness from that person at university saying, no, you can't do that. I've got this image of a 21-year-old you hiking up your jeans and going, right, screw you then, I'm going to show you what I'm made of.
Yeah, that was pretty much how it happened.
Freedom as well, independence.
Yeah, definitely.
Desire to do things your way and live life on your terms. And then finally, the other one I've spotted is related to your 5-year itch of variety, just not wanting to do the same old thing, but wanting to reinvent stuff, keep it fresh, interesting, bringing new services to your clients.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think you've got a good, you've sussed me out well there, Claire, definitely.
I've been coaching all morning. I'm in the zone.
You are, definitely. And I mean, I think that the thing that's got me through my career is definitely sort of that sort of determination and being tenacious, because funnily enough, I don't know if this comes across in our discussions, but you know, as a child, I was really shy. I was really introverted. I wouldn't order my own meal in a restaurant, So the thought of me as an adult working in a career where I was ringing journalists up and trying to place interviews and put basically working in sales, really. I mean, admittedly, money wasn't changing hands with the journalists, but a client was paying us to do that work. But we were cold calling journalists with stories all the time. And it's quite funny that I ended up doing that, really, because I never, ever would have said I wanted to work in sales. But for me, PR isn't sales. It's more of influencing and sort of showing the story or that someone's good at something. But you have to keep going with PR. You have to just keep going. You have to keep making the calls. And I think that's something that's definitely got me through and kept me going in PR, because, you know, and the thing is, for every journalist that says no, there's another one that says yes. So you've just got to keep going. So it's, yeah, it's an interesting career, shall we say.
How interesting. It's no wonder that people need PR services, because there's a lot of business owners or a lot of professionals who don't have that. They'd be petrified of having that level of tenacity.
Yeah, I guess so. I suppose I don't think of it that way, because I just have, you know, that's just what I have to do and have had to do for 20 years.
And are quite clearly good at.
Well, yeah, and it's got a bit of a buzz to it, because when you get a yes and you get that coverage and you get your client featured or that story featured, it still gives me the same buzz as it did when I was an account executive in Headingley and Leeds, you know, starting out. It still has that same buzz for me.
What's your favourite moment, though? If you think of the process from start to finish, is it ringing up that client and saying, yes, we're in?
Yeah, I mean, that's a massive part of it. And actually seeing the piece appear. I mean, I remember one client, she wanted to be a Huffington Post blogger. And I tried a few times, we hadn't got through. And then we thought we'd got in, we'd sent it off, and then they didn't post the article. And it was such a, like, oh, come on, come on. Anyway, when it finally appeared, I like jumped around this room, because it was like, yes, we got it. I suppose every piece that I get in, it's a victory, really. It means I've successfully convinced somebody to feature my client or me. And I know how much work's gone into that, I suppose. So it's never just a press release. There's always a lot of, you know, to get to the point of sending out a pitch or a press release, you've always done a lot of work to get to that point to make that story the right story for that person.
So our audience is primarily entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs in the making who want to grow authentic, values-led businesses, who want to grow heart-centered businesses, essentially. From your perspective and the value that PR adds to them, how does your mission fit with that?
Yeah, so my clients are passionate business owners and entrepreneurs who follow their passion and turn it into a business. So, you know, it's vital to them that they, you know, that they live their dream out every day by having that business, and they want more people to know about it. So I think for them with PR, it gives them a way to reach a much wider audience and to share that passion with the world, really. And the great thing is, through what I do with PR, because it's so involved to get to that point where you ask someone else to feature you, whether that's a journalist, whether that's to be on someone's podcast, whether that's to be taking part in an online summit or on a panel, you've got to convince that person why they should pick you. So a lot of work has to go into putting that case together. So particularly if you're doing your own PR, you've got to be really clear on what you're actually offering, what your message is, what what difference you can make. So having to go through that process, I find it gives entrepreneurs and individuals, it gives them that clarity of their message. And once they've got the clarity, actually going to pitch to somebody is like the icing on the cake, because through the clarity comes confidence. So once you're very clear on what you want to say, saying it's almost the easiest part. So what I do is a lot of work with people to get to that point, to going into, well, who are you trying to reach? What's your audience? What are you trying to achieve in your business? What stories have you got to tell? What expertise have you got to share? And then crafting something with them that they can use to go out and find those people and talk to them and be featured. So the two things work really, really, really well together. And I think, as I say, that clarity piece is something I love, because to see the difference in someone when I first start working with them and they're a bit like, oh, I'm not sure, it's, you know, I could work with anyone, or, well, I want to get into this market. And it's like, right, well, how can we do that? Who do we need to talk to reach them? What media do they read? Where do they hang out online? And going through that process, you see a real transformation in the business owner when they get to that point. Because then they're like, oh, I need to go and pitch somewhere now. I'm ready. And it's fantastic to see that.
That little duckling's going into the water.
It is. It is. And that's the difference. I suppose that's the equivalent of me getting them the coverage.
Yeah.
Seeing them ready and going off to get it for themselves. It's a different feeling, but it's just as rewarding.
Mm. As a business owner myself, I know how hard it is to shout about what you do.
Mm.
And kind of be visible. I know it's something I definitely struggle with is putting myself out there and shouting about what I'm doing and my achievements, because I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, from your perspective, do you see people, business owners, entrepreneurs, leaders, whatever you want to call them, making mistakes that you just want to pick them up by the scruff of the neck and shake them and say, stop it?
Well, I mean, I think you're right. I think definitely British people are very wary of blowing their own trumpet and being seen to show off. And that's a massive kind of hurdle to overcome. And I suppose the way I overcome it is to just go into the facts of, well, what's your story and what's your expertise? What are you an expert in more than the average person?
Mm.
Because then it sort of doesn't feel like you're looking to show off. You're just writing out or bullet pointing down those facts, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so that doesn't feel quite so overwhelming, I don't think. The other one, I think, is that aspect of who you're actually trying to reach, because, you know, until you know that, it's very hard to reach them because you don't quite know who they are. So sometimes it's going back to that piece about who their audience are and, you know, is that their ideal customers and clients? Is it other business owners? Is it, you know, shareholders, if it was a big corporation? It's who are you actually trying to influence and where are they, so that you can get the right information to them. But that piece about the ideal client or customer or audience is the basis of all of it.
Mm.
And I think sometimes when I've met businesses and they've become, probably they might be a few years down the line, so they've kind of very relaxed about who their customers and clients are, but they sometimes miss some really obvious opportunities, and it's quite nice to go back through it with them and find them and pick them out for them.
Mm.
Set them back on the right path.
It's lovely, isn't it, to be able to provide that objective third party lens to stuff you might have overlooked or don't know if it's the right thing to select. Or
I think you're definitely not alone in thinking it's, you know, daunting, or where it feels strange to think about promoting yourself in that way. But ultimately, as a business owner, especially a solopreneur, if you don't do it, who is going to do it? I mean, you could obviously employ somebody to do it for you, but again, you still got to make that commitment to get someone on board, and they're still going to ask you why, what stories you've got to tell and what they can talk about with you. So you're still going to have to go through that process, whether it's with someone else doing it for you or you doing it for yourself. So it's kind of just like putting the big girl pants on and saying, you know, I'm really good at what I do, but if I don't tell anyone, no one's going to know. And I'm also, you know, with a lot of my clients and with yourself, you're doing really great things to help other people. But if you don't tell people, that you can't help as many people as you could have otherwise. So you owe it to them, really, to put yourself out there.
Oh, nice.
So, I'm putting it all on you now.
Yeah. So bearing that in mind then, and you have kind of alluded to this a moment ago, but what are your top tips if somebody wants to improve their public relations and get visible?
Right, okay. Yes, I have had to think about this. So the first one is, don't be shy. So, you know, tell people about the good stuff you're doing, because if you don't tell them, they're not going to know. So you've got to sort of admit you're going to have to tell people the good stuff.
But,
I mean, that's the same. That's the same if you're, you know, looking for a new job or you're looking for new customers in your business. You've got to, like, put the best, you know, parts forward so that they can see, you know, what's on offer, really. The other thing is finding the right channels for you. So, you know, obviously now we are our own media outlet, essentially. You know, you've got your social media, so you can put your news out there. You've got your podcast. You've got your, like, you're having your own radio show. You can have your own TV show on YouTube. So think what sort of vehicle works best for you. You know, if you hate video, then write blogs. You know, if you hate writing, have a podcast. You know, find what works for you. And then the other side would be, once you found what works for you, be consistent and stick with it, because it takes a while to build an audience and for that momentum to grow. But once you've got the momentum, then it's a brilliant place to be, really. I think, again, getting clarity on your message is a massive game changer, really. You know, if you're clear on what you stand for, what your business is about, what you offer, then it's a lot easier to get people to take action, because they'll know what you know, they'll know the next step, they'll know what you want to do. But once you've got the clarity, then the confidence will come, and that makes everything a lot easier. So getting clear on your message is another one. But the another one, which is quite sort of relative to you and I, is that you've actually made your own opportunities. You know, if you find that you haven't got a great network, you know, maybe locally, then set up your own networking group. You know, find other people that can help you. Either they could become customers and clients, but they could become your support system. And they do say, don't they, that you're the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with.
Yes, so I believe that one.
Go and find those five people and get them to help you, to lift you up. You know, they could help you with, you know, working through those messages and audience things. You know, they could just help you have a sounding board, really. So they're probably my top tips. My final one would be just treat everyone as you wish to be treated yourself, because you never know whoever you've met throughout your career. You know, when I first went freelance and I was, you know, really nervous about everything to do with it, my network that I built throughout my career was what helped me to get work. You know, I had friends who'd set up agencies and needed me to help them. I had referrals for clients. That was all through word of mouth, recommendation, referral. I didn't have a website the whole time I was purely freelance, but I had work. I was fully booked the whole time. So just build your own network is probably where it was the thing that helped me. But that wasn't done, you know, that was just done because everyone I meet, I try and get on with them, you know, and I try and get to know them in the best way I can. So it's karma, isn't it? It comes back in the end in a good way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the eagle-eared or eyed among you may have spotted that Caroline and I do know each other quite well. So we set up, do you want to mention it? Was it point four you had, but about setting up Floff, but build your network?
Oh yeah, well, one of my top tips. Well, yeah, I mean, we set up a local networking group for women in business in our village and surrounding areas, because I'd met you at yoga. And, you know, we found we were both working from home on our own, building our own businesses. And we were both quite lonely and wanting a bit of a sounding board, really. But we realised quite quickly that it wasn't just the two of us that were in that same boat, that there would be more people. And why not sort of start our own networking group? And that's what we did. We came up with a manifesto and we put it out there, and we got such a high level of interest and found this whole community of women locally that were in the same boat, and we still meet up once a month to this day. And I think we've been going for, it's like 2.5 years now.
Yes, yeah. 212 members I noticed yesterday. Yeah. Which, considering it's our little village, is pretty phenomenal, really. And it's really supportive, isn't it? That's the thing I love about it. You know, you wouldn't necessarily put us together in a room, but everybody is just willing to help each other. And if people have got questions, say, oh yeah, I can recommend this person. It's our proper tribe, isn't it?
It is, absolutely, definitely. And, you know, I think all of us have had opportunities through that. It's kind of, you know, it's a great example of PR in action, really. You know, we've had speaking opportunities, we've had some works in some cases, we've had collaborations, you know, we've basically made something happen that it is PR-able, because we can tell people about it, but it actually brings so much more than that to people's lives, including our own. So it is good. I do love it.
Yeah.
I look forward to it every month.
So what advice would you give aspiring entrepreneurs, people just setting out on their journey?
I think what I would say is, don't wait for anything to be perfect. You know, take imperfect action and just get on with it. You know, don't wait around for someone to tell you it's good enough or to give you the green light, because ultimately, if you're on your own in your business, you're going to be waiting a long time unless you give yourself the green light. So I think it's about being sort of bold and brave and just going for it. And as I say, taking action. And I think, you know, the person who holds us back the most is always ourselves. So there's definitely something about, well, either trying to get over it yourself or get, like, you know, an accountability partner or a friend who can help you to do, to move forward, because it can be a lonely place being an entrepreneur on your own. So I think that thing of having the five people that, you know, you become the sum of the five people you spend the most time with, find some brilliant people who are going to help you to keep going when it's tough, you know, when you are a bit lonely or a bit low and you think, what am I doing? Because we all have those moments. So, but equally, when you know you've got that passion inside you, you want this to happen, you will keep going through those times. But yeah, get a bit of a support squad around you, definitely. Mm. And yeah, take imperfect action. Don't wait for things, because someone else will go ahead and do it and you'll wish you'd done it.
Progress, not perfection.
That's yes, absolutely. For. Absolutely.
I read something wonderful yesterday. I can't remember where it was, but it's just basically saying that if you're petrified of doing something, that means it's important and you need to figure out how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, but I think that's why a lot of us, you know, keep sort of picking and picking away at something, because if we didn't believe in it, we would have probably walked away by now. So you just keep going and going, and you kind of think, you don't want to give it up because you know it's the right thing. But, you know, some days it is tough, but you just, something's keeping you going because you believe in it, really.
What advice would you give yourself from, well, either 10 years ago is the normal question, or maybe 6 or 7 years ago, if that's when you started your business?
Oh, that's a good question. I think taking imperfect action is better than taking no action every time. But I admit that's something I still kind of, you know, battle with now, because as I say, it is daunting, you know, going out there on your own sometimes, and it's easier to stay in your comfort zone. Like, I could have stayed in my comfort zone and still been a freelance PR and that's it, you know, and I did love doing that, but I just knew that I wanted something different. I wanted something more. So I think it's just keep going, really. And a bit like we've just said, you know, when it scares you, keep going anyway, because it's probably something really good there.
Nothing great happens in your comfort zone.
Exactly. So, and yeah, I suppose that's, you know, that's like with me going freelance in the first place. It was a bit like, well, if you've got nothing to lose, you know, go for it. Or equally, like, you know, then when I've transitioned my business more recently, it's like, well, if I don't change it, nothing's going to change. It's going to stay the same. And if I don't want it to stay the same, I'm going to have to do something. So that's why I keep pushing on, really.
So we will link to your program in the show notes, so if people want to come and find you, they can. But where can people find you online? Just a quick overview of how to find you. Where's the best place to track you down?
Yeah, sure. So my website is cheerleaderpr.com, so there's lots of information on there. But if you want to come and find me in social media land, then I have a Facebook group called PR for Passionate Go-Getters, where I share tips and advice and support for people who are wanting to promote themselves. And I do a live every Wednesday Wisdom, sharing hints and tips and insights into PR. So that's Facebook, and I'm on Instagram as cheerleader_PR, and on LinkedIn as Caroline Joynson. So yeah, come and find me.
And final question, I promise. What's a book or a podcast that you can't live without?
Well, I'm going to have to say Denise Duffield Thomas one. I don't know if you want me to tell the story about Denise and you and I.
Yeah, why not? It's okay. A nice one to finish on.
It is. So I had the book by Denise Duffield Thomas called Get Rich, Lucky Bitch, and I thought it was a brilliant book. And I think probably early on when we first knew each other, somehow this came up in the conversation and I lent you the book. And I think you obviously really liked the book, and, you know, it was something that we talked about.
We bonded over it.
We did. And then she had another book called Chillpreneur, which came out. And then you got in touch saying, Denise is coming to London. She's doing this talk. We should go. It was kind of like something that we'd kind of gone through together, I think. And we did, didn't we? We went down to London for the day. We had our picture taken with Denise, but we most importantly heard her you know, tell us all the stories out of the book and really bring it to life. So I think actually for me is something that's gone through my business journey, is particularly over the last couple of years, then probably Get Rich Lucky Bitch and then Chillpreneur. There it is.
Sorry for the podcast listeners, but I've just got my signed copy off the shelf.
I think I really like Denise DeFil Thomas because she's just so laid back. She's what you see is what you get. She's down to earth. She makes everything really straightforward. And I really like everything that she stands for. So I'll probably say her books, those two books would be mine, my top two. And as I say, I think you and I have got quite a good connection over those as well. So it's quite nice.
You never know where it can lead.
No, absolutely.
Cool. Well, that's all we've got time for. But Caroline, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and giving us your thoughts on PR. And I will see you very soon.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Right, bye now.
Bye.
So there we have it. I hope you've been inspired. While I've got you, I'm growing a select community of people like you. Values-led, authentic recruitment professionals who are hell-bent on having extraordinary impact with their business or career. You can expect support, inspiration, and advice from people who know exactly what you're going through. Why don't you join us? Search for the Authentic Recruiters Society on Facebook and come on in. Until next time, take care.